I got a poem here that was written by a 15-year-old boy out of Ohio, and a friend of mine downloaded it off the internet. The poem, it has two titles. One's called The New School Prayer or The New Pledge of Allegiance. Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule, for this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That's no offense. It's a freedom thing. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayer spoken out loud are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend somebody with no faith at all. In silence alone, we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We're allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our nose, tongues, and cheeks. We can carry smut, but not the Bible. To quote the good book makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and the unwed daddy our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth control, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess. When chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul please take. Amen. If you aren't ashamed to do this, please pass this on, Jesus said. If you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Not ashamed, pass this on.
Amen.
But I just thought that was really cool. I mean, a 15-year-old boy to have that much. Isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. I want a copy of that. You know, we have sin in our heart, and we play games, and we hide sin. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. I'm sorry, did you hear what I just said? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall find mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. The reason that I love Jesus so much is because he got what I deserve. He took my sin upon him. He identified himself with me. Father, give me what Harvey deserves. Treat me as if I was him. This week, let's see. Nope, today is the first day of the week. Last week, like whatever day it was, Thursday, I came in here, and God's been dealing with me about stuff in my life. This thing is hot. God's been dealing with me about sin in my life. Sin like controlling and anger and selfishness. Yeah, you want to help me? Go ahead. Go ahead, confess my sin. This is my dear wife who likes to help me know what my sin is. Thank you, Jesus. There's the Holy Spirit that you can't see, and then there's the Holy Spirit in the flesh. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, dear, you're right. I am wrong. Okay. If I could just remember what it is. You want a list? Okay. And I'm going, and I'm speaking to you, brother. I want you to hear what I'm saying, because you said something to me the other day, Scott. And this week, after I did this, and I was praying about it, God said, make sure you talk to Scott, because it will help him to get the deliverance. See, to get delivered from the power of sin, we have to get real about sin. Are you listening to what I'm saying? we can try to generalize it. We can blame shift and say it's other people's fault. We can make excuses. We can lightly confess it, and you don't have any power. You don't seem to get delivered. You seem to stay stuck in it. Or we come up with little words, little sayings that we pray, these little prayers, like formula, you know, little ditties, you know, where we just pray these words and we say them all the time, and but they're true. Yeah, but there's no life in them. Here's where there's life, is like when he stood up and he just said, "This is what I just did, and I'm ashamed of it. I don't want this." That's when God's going to change his heart. You see, we so often try to change ourselves. We try to do what we call behavioral control. Now, while God's working on you, work on the behavioral control. But realize you can't do it. If you could do it, you wouldn't need Jesus. Sometimes I'm witnessing to people, they say, "Well, when I get straightened up, then I'll come to church." I said, when you get straightened up, you're going to probably be in a morgue, okay? Because I've already preached funerals for the people that are straightened up, okay? I said, because if you straightened up, you wouldn't need Jesus. I said, you need Jesus because you can't straighten up. You can't change your heart. You need to confess what's in your heart. I'm sorry. You need to confess what's in your heart. Admit what's in your heart. Am I interrupting? Am I interrupting? Good. You need to admit what's in your heart. And tell God, "God, I don't want this. God, I want you to change my heart. I'm inviting you. Change my heart. Here's where I'm at." This week I was praying, or I've been praying, God's been dealing with me about sin in my own life. And I'm saying, "Lord, you've dealt with this and you've broken it." And he said, "Yeah, but we're going deeper. We got to go further, Harv, because there's too much of you and not enough of me getting through." And I'm like, "Okay, Lord." So I'm praying words, I'm reading scripture, I'm quoting scripture, and I'm not getting change. And I'm like, "Lord, what?" And this week he said, "I want you to come over here to the coffee bar and ask them to pray for you." And I said, "Okay." So I came over here and I said, "Shepherd Glenn," I said, "would you?" I said, "I need prayer." So he said, let's do it right now. And he went and got a group of people and they gathered around me and we started praying. Well, I had already been telling Brother Glenn what I was going through, some of the things God was dealing me about. So Brother Glenn's trying to, we're lifting up Brother Harvey so that he could get delivered. And he tries to kind of sugarcoat it. He doesn't want to, you know, he's not my wife, so he didn't want to say it all specifically and clearly, you know. And I said, "Oh, no, we ain't playing this game." So I interrupted and said, "Oh, no. I am sorry, Lord, that I am selfish and I'm not others minded and that I am controlling, and God, I don't want this in me. But God, this is where I'm at. Let's get real. And I want you to change me." And they began to pray for me and love me. And afterwards I said, "God, why?" And he said, "Because this isn't about you doing this little secret hiding over here, talking about your sin to God, and then coming out and acting like everything's okay. I can't stand that when I've gone to churches through the years. Everybody, 'Hi, I'm fine.' You're lying like a rug. Let's go ask your mate. Let's go ask your kids if you're doing fine. Why were you screaming at them on the way here? You know, why is it you don't have time for them? You know, but you tell me everything's fine. You're lying. In other words, you're a liar. Okay? I don't need that. Do you?" Well, then we don't want to be that, do we? So then let's don't tell people we love them and then don't have nothing to do with them. That's not love. I had people hug me and, or, you know, tell me when I'd come to church, 10 years, Oh, I love you. Oh, here's my little Christian hug. And I said to him after a while, what do you mean you love me? You've never invited me to your house. You don't want to have nothing to do with me. You don't talk to me any other time. I said, what does that mean you love me? You hurt your chihuahua? Get off of me. I don't need what you have. As a matter of fact, what you have I hope isn't catching, because I don't want it. I said, Lord, deliver me from this puke religion. I don't need it. I'm sorry, is this clear yet? I can make it a little more graphic. I need Jesus. And Jesus is truth. What he just said isn't something that's good. But if every one of us got honest, we have all kinds of stuff inside of us that we don't get honest about. Have you ever noticed over in the book of James chapter 5 where it says, confess? Just tell me what this verse means. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. What does that mean if it doesn't mean to get open, honest, real, vulnerable, transparent? What does it mean? Is that what it means? That's what we're about. That's what we're going to do. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. He's not into hiding. No game playing. It doesn't matter if you're the head of this ministry or you're just a newcomer. Let's get real, because we need Jesus. And that's when we see change. God, here's where I'm at. And when you have public confession, what I've noticed through the years, you'll have public power. You'll have public deliverance. I'll notice huge change in people's lives when they do that. But we're always hiding. We're quiet. We don't want to tell anybody. Those are the ones that have secret sin. And keep that, and you stay bound to it. Jesus, I want to give you a gift. On my birthday, you want to give me a gift? Yeah. What is it, Harv? Here's my sin. Thanks, Harv. That's what I want. I want you to bring me yourself as you really are. He says, I already know. I've just been waiting for you to get honest. Does that make sense? Is anybody else getting this? Sorry? So I'm really glad that he stood up. And you know what? We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another and encourage one another. Because you know what? This may be true, but he doesn't want it to be true. And he needs us just like we need Jesus. And we need him. Okay.
It's about Santa Claus, but Jesus is in this too. Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus is everywhere.
Amen.
Santa rides in a sleigh. Jesus rides on the wind and walks on the water.
Amen.
Santa comes but once a year, and Jesus is an ever-present help all the time.
Amen.
Santa fills our stockings with goodies. Jesus supplies all your needs.
Amen.
Santa comes down your chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at your door and knocks and then enters your heart. You have to stand in line to see Santa. All you have to do is call on Jesus.
Amen.
Santa lets you sit on his lap and Jesus lets you rest in his arms.
Amen.
Santa doesn't know your name. All he can say is, hi, little boy or girl. What's your name? And Jesus knew our name before we did.
Amen.
Not only does he know our name, he knows our address too. He knows our history and our future, and he knows how many hairs are on our heads. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart full of love. And all Santa can offer is a ho, ho, ho. And Jesus offers health, hope, and help. Santa says, you better not cry. Jesus will wipe away all your tears. Santa's little helpers make toys. Jesus makes new life, mends wounded hearts, repairs broken homes and builds mansions. And Santa may make you chuckle, but Jesus gives you joy that is your strength. While Santa puts gifts under your tree, Jesus became our gift and died on the tree. It's obvious there is really no comparison. We need to remember who Christmas is all about. We need to put Christ back in Christmas. Jesus is still the reason for the season. And Jesus is real.
Thank you, Roxanne.
Thank you, Roxanne. Well, I feel led to do just this one song, and I don't know what we're going to, what can we do after this? Everything I give thanks in the sweet name of the Lord. To God the Father for everything I give thanks. For everything I give thanks in the name of the Lord, to God the Father for everything I give thanks. For everything I give thanks, thank you, Lordy, 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 in the sweet name of the Lord. To God the Father for everything I give thanks. I give thanks for His love. Well, I give thanks for His grace. Thank you, Father, for your tender mercies. Your loving kindness lasts forevermore. For everything I give thanks, thank you, Lord. In the sweet name of the Lord, to God the Father, for everything I give thanks. everything. I give thanks, thank you, Lordy, 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 in the sweet name of the Lord. To my God, I love you for everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Every little thing, every little thing, I give thanks to you, Lord, Lord, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I thank you for the church. I thank you for the people, too. Thank you for your love. Oh, 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 oh. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Every little thing, I give thanks to you, Lord. Yeah.
Praise God. Thanks, guys.
Well, someone else led you to this. Anyone want to share a testimony? I felt like we were going to have a little open mic time.
Lord Jesus, you're just so awesome. Just everywhere you look, you know, you just look outside and just look at that beautiful. I know it's snow, I know it's cold, but it's so awesome, so beautiful, it's so clean. That's what he's like. You know, I was reborn again 16 years ago, just a few months ago, and I'm not all grown up. So I look as myself as being 16 years old, and you know, I'm the Father's son, and you know, when I grow up, what I want to be is like Jesus. That's what I want to be like. You know, I have a confession too. Every time He takes me and leads me a place and shows me something, He shows me how selfish I really am. And you know, He's delivering me from that every day, every little bit, piece by piece. You know, step by step. You know, what I've learned about Jesus Christ is it's about the walk. It's not an arrival. It's not hurry up and get there. It's not a microwave. It just can't be done overnight, and it won't be done overnight. It's a Christian walk. We won't get there by ourselves. We need Jesus. And that's what it's about, is the Christian walk, taking our time with Him.
Amen.
So what are we here for today? We're here because we're celebrating Jesus Christ's birthday. So what is that all about? Let's go to Isaiah 9:6. You can go there if not. Isaiah 9:6. This is what it's all about. It's right here. Isaiah is an awesome prophet that just was way before his time and just was. That's Isaiah 9:6. For who is Jesus Christ? What is it? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So not as he only born, he's given as a purpose for us. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And listen to this. His name shall be called Wonderful.
Amen.
Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father.
Yes.
everlasting, the Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus Christ is, and that's what it's all about. Amen. That's what we're here for today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I thought you were going to preach. I'm going to get you a stand. You did. It's just short. Someone else has something they want to say. Time is ticking away. I've seen you run with kids, Tom.
I'm so blessed to have a woman in my life who is passionately pursuing the Lord. And one of the things that happened this week, I don't even know how she got there, but I saw her at the computer viewing a video about 70 minutes long of a man who, if you were to see a headshot, looks perfectly normal. But you see him on stage, he's basically a head and a torso and a little appendage that looks vaguely like a foot at the end of his torso. Apparently born that way, but he's an evangelist. And I see this guy putting his whole heart and soul, since he doesn't have arms or legs, into preaching a gospel message and calling young people to bring their gang weapons up front and just powerfully encouraging them and giving his whole heart and soul. And here I am with no missing appendages, feeling very convicted about how little I've done with how much I have. And so I guess that's a little bit of a confession. I've been on the low side of lukewarm and asking God to turn up the temperature, dry up the wood, and set me ablaze. Who's ready to burn?
I forgot I have a praise report. I found a place to live among a couple of few other people in here. So January 1st, we move in.
Amen.
I just want to thank God for the people that are here today. I want to thank him for not leaving me where I was. What is so cool being here with the coffee shop? I mean, I am honored. I am privileged. It has taken the scales off of my eyes. And what's really cool is there's a homeless guy that comes in here, and he's not here today. But he lives outside in the cold. And to see his smile when he walks through these doors is worth every second that I spend here. And what is really neat is he is starting to bring food. Now, this is a homeless guy that has nothing. He is bringing food into our pantry. He is staying at the 76th Street truck stop most of the day, waiting for truckers to come in that have stuff they can't get rid of. And then he says, "Glenn, I got some stuff. Come and get me." So I go pick him up, and his smile, I mean, it's cold, it's blowing, but his smile is just overwhelming, and he's homeless. But he's given food that he could use. And then I'll say, "Jimmy, do you need some?" "No, I've got enough." Give it to somebody that needs it. So I ask myself, what do I have that I can give? You know, what am I not using at my house? What do I have two or three of? And it's just amazing. It humbles you. Because we all have this me, 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 me. When we have what we need, well, I'll need that later. Or I might be able to, I'll grow into it. Or shrink. That's my case. So we need to, I mean, if a homeless person can open his heart, what's up with ours? You know, God is so awesome. He'll sit there and wait for you to change. You know, you run away, he'll just go, okay, Glenn, you'll be back. And then here I come back all worried and all problemed, and I go, Lord, I can't do it. And he says, Glenn, I knew it all along. I was just waiting for you to get out of the way. And then we have the food pantry. And God said, get the shelves and I'll bring the food. And the food is just coming in with no money. And we're able to give it out to the needy. And that's what we need to do. What we do first is we show them Jesus.
Amen.
When they come through the door. A lot of people say, well, you're an awesome guy. And I look at him, no, I'm not. Without Jesus, I would make you sick. And sometimes with him, I make you sick. I know I'd get a lot of amens on that one. But you know, it's not about ourselves. It's about each other. And no matter how little that you have, you can give up a smile for somebody. You can give them a hug. You can give them an extra pair of shoes. So I just praise God for this place. I praise God for His presence. He is awesome. And without Him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
So when they say praise God, that doesn't mean just sit there, get up and go nuts. Okay? Everybody else does. Why don't you? Thank you, Jesus, for being here.
Amen.
Thank you for what you're doing here. And thank you for what you're going to do here.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Julie took me to breakfast over here to Russ's on Friday morning. She made me feel like the big guy and gave me the money to pay. I knew I had a 10 and a 5 in my pocket. When I got home, I had a 20, a 10, and a 5. The lady at Russ's had given us back the $20 bill and the change, and we had breakfast. So, and what was a blessing was neither one of us had any question. We knew that we were going to go back up there and give that $20 bill back, because we knew. Well, after that, the same day, this is so exciting when we can know that God is working specifically in our lives, that Raymond that comes here that had them things he got off the computer, he couldn't get the other stuff that was read today. He could only get this one. And he ran home from the church after he heard the story, you know, about Russ's, and he got this one. And it says, several years ago, a preacher from out of state accepted a call to a church in Houston, Texas. Some weeks after he arrived, he had occasion to ride the bus from his home to the downtown area. When he sat down, he discovered that the driver had accidentally given him a quarter too much change. As he considered what to do, he thought to himself, you better give the quarter back. It would be wrong to keep it. Then he thought, oh, forget it. It's only a quarter. Who would worry about this little amount? Anyway, the bus company gets too much fare. They will never miss it. Accept it as a gift from God and keep quiet. When his stop came, he paused momentarily at the door, and then he handed the quarter to the driver and said, here, you gave me too much change. The driver with a smile replied, aren't you the new preacher in town? Yes, he replied. Well, I've been thinking a lot lately about going somewhere to worship. I just wanted to see what you would do if I gave you too much change. I'll see you at church on Sunday. When the preacher stepped off the bus, he literally grabbed the nearest light pole, held on, and said, oh God, I almost sold your son for a quarter. Our lives are the only Bible some people will ever read. This is really a scary example of how much people watch us as Christians and will put us to the test. Always be on guard. And remember, you carry the name of Christ on your shoulders when you call yourself a Christian. So you got to watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. The will of God will never take you to where the grace of God
will not protect you. Stay faithful and be grateful. So thank God for His grace for this mess. You know.